I call this meeting to order for the Committee on Oversight, Senate of the Associated Students of the 86th Session on Monday, April 23rd, 2018 at 7 o'clock p.m. in room 420 on the fourth floor of the Judd College Student Union. Moving to agenda item two, roll call.
Senator Alvarez?
Present.
Senator Collins?
Present.
Senator Kyle?
Yeah, present.
Senator Grant?
Present.
Senator Hughes?
Present.
Speaker Martinez?
Present.
Senator Mata?
Present.
Senator McKinney?
Here.
Thank you. We'll move into agenda item three, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? Seeing no public comment, we'll move straight into new business. Again, just for new business, we're going to be looking for some candidates. I sent you all their portfolios and resumes and cover letters, so hopefully you had a chance to read those. Again, ensure your questions are germane to the candidates that we're vetting out currently, and I would hope that you have questions prepared and discussion ready, because again, when you guys don't talk, those are 18,000 students you're silencing, so just ensure that you are speaking on behalf of them and really vetting out these candidates. So moving into that, agenda item six, new business. I am seeking a motion to favorably recommend the nomination of Austin Lynch to the Office of Director of Department of Event Programming. Senator Alvarez?
So it is moved.
Is there a second? Senator Grant?
Second.
All right, we'll move into a presentation from the president. If you would like to present your candidate first before they give their speech.
I would love to, thank you. All right, well, Christy.
Oh, and Vice President Bradley, so sorry.
All right, so we're incredibly honored and proud to introduce our first nominee, Austin Lynch, for the director of the Department of Event Programming. Austin Lynch is a third year student studying secondary education, and I can't think of anyone else that's more qualified to lead this department. Austin has been planning large scale events since high school, and from the moment he stepped foot on the University of Nevada campus, he has been dedicated to making students feel connected to our campus community. He has been involved in ASU programming since his first year, and has since served as programming intern, programmer, and assistant director for marketing and interns for the department. Throughout his service, he has been recognized by the association as programming intern of the year and programmer of the year. Austin's roles within the department have given him the tools to understand both the day-to-day operations of the department, as well as the overarching purpose of why our programs and services why we do our programs and how they help our students. Additionally, his involvement with the new student initiatives has given him firsthand knowledge about what programs would be most impactful for our students. I can continue talking about his qualifications because there are tons of them, but I would love for Austin to share with you why he is an excellent nominee for the director of the Department of Event Programming. As you've read in his portfolio, Austin's vision of the future of the department perfectly encapsulates the principles of inclusivity and integrity. Without further ado, I give you Austin Lynch.
And thank you, Senator, so much for having me tonight. I've been really excited and looking forward to the day that I can apply for this position, so it's kind of surreal that I'm up here nominated tonight. So since President Jackson already discussed my experience within the department, I'm just going to jump right into it and discuss my goals and kind of outline some things that I will be doing to achieve these goals throughout the year. And at the end, I would love for, obviously, to answer any questions that you have if I'm not able to hit everything within my portfolio. So just looking at my first goal is to be clear with my expectations and hold all the board members accountable throughout their terms. Accountability is something that's extremely important within our department and needs to be increased throughout this upcoming year, and we really need to hold each individual that is put through by you as Senate accountable for what they say they're going to do. One thing I did with our internship program this past year is create a contract that laid out my expectations for them, and I'd love to create the same thing for our programmers this upcoming year, have them review it at the beginning of the year so they understand exactly what they're getting into, and they would sign this contract stating that they will uphold these expectations. And I'll discuss in a minute what would happen if they were not upholding these expectations. I also think it's important to sit down with the department and make goals that they think are achievable as well. And then after each event or after each big week that we do, review those goals, talk about how we accomplished them, as well as what we could do better for the upcoming set of events to achieve these goals that we have. I also want to continue and utilize our department's three-strike policy more often this year. I think this is a big way to hold our officers accountable. For those of you that don't know about three-strike policy that Director Cannell instituted, the first strike that we would do is basically a private conversation with me and the individual. Second strike would be a meeting with myself as well as our advisor, Gabby Ortiz Flores. And then third strike would be removal from the program. So it's something that we really stress to hold our programmers and our assistant directors accountable. And the last one is to remain actively engaged throughout the year, because this job within the Department of Programming can be extremely time-consuming, and burnout is real for some individuals. So I would like to look at ways that we can maybe hire a full board of 8 programmers this year to make sure that all of our programmers feel like they have what it takes to be held accountable and that their goals can be achieved. My second goal is to provide board members and others on campus with helpful trainings and resources to successfully host programs on campus. So I don't think that we are the only department or group on campus that should be planning events. I want to make sure that others on campus have the resources that they need to make sure that they can do this. So first off, I would host mandatory programming training before all board members leave for summer. This is just so we can utilize our summertime and make sure that we're really getting started on early planning and making sure that all of our events are organized and set to go. I also want to give each member a resource binder. This is the one I created for our internship program. I'll pass it around. Some of it is exactly like, not all of this will be seen in like the actual program resource binder, because this is more geared towards our internship program, but there are some resource sheets that I would love to include, and this basically just tells event programmers exactly how to plan events. I'd also like to train all executive board members on how to plan events and give them these binders, so then they can take that back to their boards and make sure that they have the tools necessary to do whatever they need to with the resources at hand. I would also love to work with the Department of Clubs and Organizations to outreach to different clubs and host monthly programming informational meetings where we can actually explain how to plan events and sit down one-on-one with club leaders and help them out through the process. It's extremely scary planning events on this campus. There's a lot of forms you have to fill out, and I think that it would be awesome if we could give those clubs the resources and the access to planning events. And then I would also like to continue the liaison program between us and ASUN departments, where we pair up one programmer with one department in ASUN, where they can kind of go to that department, can go to that programmer with any questions they might have. My next goal is to hire a board that comes from a variety of backgrounds, brings unique ideas, and one that is full of passionate individuals. And I know that might seem like an obvious goal that it should be there, but I think that this is really vital for this department, as we should be representative of the student body. We are hosting huge events, and it's important that when students attend these events, they see themselves within our programmers. And I really am going to be looking for a variety of experience levels with event programming. I don't expect everyone to have years and years of event programming experience, so I'm excited to see the variety of levels. Grade levels, campus involvement, it would be awesome to bring in people from different parts on campus. And then I will be asking each applicant to bring in new event ideas where we can actually see their creative and unique ideas, so we can actually change some things up this year. And then I'll be looking for individuals that are passionate. Again, this job is extremely hard, and you need to be passionate about serving this university and serving others. And I don't think it is necessary to hire any individual that does not feel passionate about those things. And then moving on to my next goal, I plan to be more transparent with our student body while planning events. Many people don't know what ASUN does, they don't know where their money's going to, and it's important that we show them. So I plan on working with the Assistant Director of Marketing to ensure that the ASUN logo can be found at every event, so every student, every attendee knows who's planning that event. Also, we plan on ordering flag bases for our large ASUN flags that Dr. Beattie actually found in our office a few months ago, so that we can utilize these flags and put them up everywhere to show our students who's planning these events. I also think it's important that ASUN officers are at our events talking to students about what you're doing, even senators. This is a great outreach opportunity, and it would be awesome to see some of you at the events talking to students about how we can improve what we're doing at ASUN. My next goal is to place an importance on consistency and communication to help our board succeed throughout the year, and these two things are extremely vital in our success rates as a department. One thing I would like to do is to utilize the Nevada Box more to create organization and communication from board to board. And I would like to look at increasing job duties of the Assistant Director of Budget and Finance to be more organizational and review the Nevada Box to make sure that each programmer is uploading the necessary items. I also think it's important, one thing we have been doing, is hosting weekly meetings. Even if they're 10 minutes, we need to get together at least once a week and have a discussion about what's going on and figure out where we're going to be going next. I also want to set up one-on-ones with each programmer once a semester to better cater the program to their needs. And then I'll be hosting new meetings with the assistant directors and our advisor, as well as meeting with President Jackson prior to her meetings with you and our administration, so I can get further proper communication to share with them. And then I obviously would love to either require or encourage our programmers to attend Senate so then they can see what the rest of the association is up to and we can have better communication as a whole. My next goal is to create an inclusive environment at our events and ensure that all students feel comfortable enough to attend our events. And this kind of brings me to my quote that's on the front of my portfolio. It says, who plans the events, who benefits from the events, and who's missing from the events? I think that this is going to be our driving factor this next year and really looking at each event and what students are being excluded and how we can change things up to include them. A big thing is changing homecoming up a little bit. Our group class makes up like 15% of our campus, and right now I would say their active rate in homecoming, they complete about 95 to 99% of those who are engaged in homecoming, and we need to change that. We are serving all students, and it's important that we do so. So I can't make that decision alone, so I'd love to meet with our new board and some other campus leaders to come up with ideas and ways that we can change homecoming for the better. I also want to work with the Director of Diversity and Inclusion to ensure that all of our events do have elements of both. And then host meetings with different student leaders on campus to make sure that we are really planning events for their needs and catering to them. My next goal is to increase the department's involvement on campus and the involvement of ASU officers at our events. So I'm going to be requiring, if approved by all of you, programmers to attend one non-programming event each month. And this is just so we can get different ideas from campus, see what else is happening, and be on the other side for once. We can really make some awesome changes if we're on the other side and see what it's like to actually attend an event rather than plan it. And then I would love to work with President Jackson and the executive board, as well as Speaker Martinez, to increase volunteerism at our events by ASU officers and look into providing incentives for that involvement. And then my last goal is to strengthen campus relations by creating a strict co-sponsorship guideline. And I'll be collaborating with other student leaders throughout the year. I really think that this is the best way to create a unified campus. I'm going to plan on working with the assistant directors to create a tiered co-sponsorship agreement form and approve it with the board of programming. And then I also hope to work with a variety of clubs throughout the year. However, we really need to focus on building relationships with that club so we are not making any student group feel like we're using them for our own benefit. That's not what we're here to do. And then I don't have time to discuss the other contents of my portfolio, but inside you'll find information on our interview process, a 40-day plan of action, some training plans, my resources that I want to provide programmers, as well as an overview of our fall 2018 events. But obviously all of that is subject to change, and I can provide that to you as soon as it is finalized. That concludes my information for you, but I'd love to answer any questions that you might have.
Thank you, Director Lynch. Going straight into question and answer, starting with the first hand, if there's any senators again that have questions. Senator File.
How will you address sustainability in your events and programs?
Sustainability? Yeah, so that is a big problem, especially if you come out training with this past weekend and we're using plastic water bottles and other issues within our events. So once there's either a director of sustainability or director of campus wellness, I'd love to meet with them and review each of our events to make sure that we are planning accordingly. I don't think that I am necessarily trained in the best of my ability, so I would love to meet with whoever I need to ensure that our events are living up to the standards and creating a more sustainable campus.
Senator Alvarez.
In regards to the 40-day plan, when does it start and end?
It would start as soon as Wednesday if I'm approved by Senate, and it would end 40 days after that. I don't know the exact date.
Thank you.
Senator McKinney.
Within your portfolio, it says strengthen campus relations by creating a strict co-sponsorship guideline. Can you elaborate just a little bit more on that strict co-sponsorship guideline?
Yeah, so some issues that we found in the past when working with other groups is that we don't really have a co-sponsorship form that lays out what we're going to provide and what they're going to provide. So some things that our department has discussed this past year is creating a tier system where we kind of have like, if you provide this much, you'll get this out of it. You provide this much, this is what you'll get, etc. So then once we meet with those groups, we can sit down and really lay out what each side is going to do. I also think that it's important that we create some type type of manual or rules about co-sponsoring events. For example, some rules would include we need 2 months' notice before planning with another group because late planning does not equal a successful event. So just different rules like that that would really lay out how we work with different student groups and make it more organized so we have better programs.
Senator Hughes.
So you mentioned uploading information to Nevada Box. Mm-hmm. Would you be interested in uploading it to the Legacy Box as well that Senate is working on?
Yes.
Okay.
Definitely.
Cool.
Anything that would increase increase communication between us and the following boards to better our programs and to better what we do would be awesome. So I'm down for any ideas that there are.
Senator Collins.
You talked about creating new events for this next coming year. Do you yourself have any specific events that you want to plan?
Yeah. So I don't want to come in and just like come up with all my events. That's why I really want programmers to come in with their own event ideas. But one that I would love to plan is our Fail Forward campaign. So I actually attended a NOTA conference, which focuses on orientation programs and retention rates. And one school discussed this campaign that they did called Fail Forward, and I think it would be really cool to bring it here. And the whole idea of this is to show students that failure should not be the end-all, be-all. It should be a way, a launching pad to learning and growing here on campus. So I'd love it to be like a 2-day event where our first day is kind of in a smaller setting, maybe the Joe Theater, where we have professionals on campus such as Dr. Ellis, President Johnson, Coach Musselman, people who are prominent and well-known, but students might feel like they can't access them as easily. And I want these people to come up in like jeans and relatable to students and talk about how they failed. Not their plans for the university, not what they're trying to do to fix certain issues, but how they failed, how that made them feel, and how they got back up and learned from those failures. And then I think it would be really awesome the following night to have a bigger event in the ballrooms to bring a well-known like individual within the country to talk about their failures. So it'd be kind of like this contrast of it happens here, it happens on a larger scale, but that's just one event that I would love to do. The rest, I would really encourage programmers to come up with their own event ideas.
Senator Mata?
You discussed how some of the groups on campus aren't showing up to some events or underrepresented. Who do you think those groups are?
Yeah, so it's definitely our students of color on campus. It's all of the students who are might be classified as non-traditional students. And by non-traditional students, I mean commuter students, so students who don't live on campus. There's a big issue there. A lot of our students who attend events are usually freshmen or involved in fraternity and sorority life. So I really think it's about outreaching to student groups who might not fit those categories and figuring out ways that we can better our programs to fit their needs on our campus.
Senator Hughes.
I revoke my question.
Senator McKinney.
Oh, so understanding that you were the assistant director for marketing interns, mm-hmm. and on the other side of that, that's the assistant director of the budget, mm-hmm. and understanding that the director of programming's one of their big jobs is creating the budget mm-hmm. to propose with the president, what have you learned in the past year while working with the assistant director of the budget, and what do you think you will use to create that budget and make it sure that it's like working for all students mm-hmm. on our campus?
Awesome. So I actually discussed the budget with Assistant Director Fang, and he sent me some materials that he has. So he actually created a whole list where he created an organizational system of every receipt, how much it was, who spent it, what event it was for, and like a tracking system. So I would want to continue that within the next year and expect that the Assistant Director of Budget and Finance create something very similar. Obviously, I would want it to be something that would be useful to them and something that they could use. Another important thing is looking at cost per student for each event. So that's where we actually take the total amount that we spent for an event and divide it by how many students attended and look at the price for that event. We've had events that range from like 12 cents per student, which is really awesome because we're like really using our money for a lot of students compared to like bigger events like BLF cost more per student. As well as maybe budget reviews. So looking at each event, what we spent last year and figuring out, is this necessary? Are there other ways that we could be buying these, other stores that we could be going to, other groups, especially for BLF if we look at. There's a lot of different porta potty companies. There's a lot of different fence companies. So if we got quotes from multiple and chose the cheapest, that might give us more money to pay more events. But I'd also love to keep it up to them and figure out a way that they can be organized and on top of it and create a job that works for that individual.
Senator Alvarez.
In your very first goal, you discussed the contract. Will you clarify what the contents of that contract is, and also how these individuals will get these strikes?
Yeah, so the contract includes events that they have to be at. So we already have dates for each event, so I would miss those dates. It would be kind of protocol for if they're going to miss an event. Some expectations. So expectations might include notifying me 48 hours in advance with proof of absence. It might be showing up late for an event, obviously coming to an event intoxicated or under the influence, certain things like that would cause issues within our board. Even late planning if it needs to get to that point, and focusing on not following the strict deadline of planning events. And then our strike system, the way I view it and the way that I would like to conduct that next year is that for strike one, that person would have a sit-down meeting with me where we would discuss the issue at hand as well as steps to move forward. I don't think that I should just yell at an individual and expect them to get better. I think that I should have ideas of how they can do that. And then step two would be a meeting with myself and our advisor, Gabby Ortiz-Flores, and again, discussing the issue and how we can step forward. And strike three, which I hope we don't ever get strike three, would be removal from the program, and that would be for severe issues that would arise. And for each strike that they get, I would like to have everything documented, so I would send them an email, CC President Jackson, as well as any other parties that need to be informed.
Senator Mata.
So I'm just going to use what I am most informed with for this question. Mm-hmm. So you say you want to reach out and include more people in the programming. I myself have been in band, and I know the band loves people more than mm-hmm. So how would you get in contact with the band?
Yeah, so that would be great for working with on homecoming. I know that one event that we're looking to do, or that our past board has started to plan for the upcoming board, is a big pep rally. So it'd be awesome to get in contact with either the band director or go through athletics and figure out ways that we can include that group within our events.
Senator Grant.
I guess it's kind of similar to that. It goes along with that question, but with the absence of Luke mm-hmm. in the next year, you plan on creating events tailored to the sporting events here on campus?
Yeah, so within my understanding, we'll be required to do the BUNLV type event or events. So I would also like to, as I said earlier, increase the job duties of the Assistant Director of Budget and Finance. I think they have a lot more time. So I would like to partner them up with Vice President Bradley to attend meetings with athletics, and she will be the new, what's the word, liaison between us and athletics. So that individual would be able to attend meetings with her, as well as discuss what we're doing and how we can incorporate athletics within that. Obviously, the big one is BUNLV and figuring out ways that we could do that, but I'm always down to figure out other ways that we can highlight those groups on campus.
With time coming to an end, I have one final person, which is Senator Fah.
For intergroup collaboration, can you talk about your meeting? Or having more meetings in general,
could
senators attend those,
yeah.
Or other officers just to know what's going on, be updated?
Yeah, I would actually love that. For the past 3 years, we rarely get attendance at our meetings, so it would be awesome to have senators holding us accountable at our meetings, attending them, and if approved, I would love to share that date with all of you and let you know when we're meeting. That would be awesome.
And that concludes question and answer. Thank you so much, Director Lynch. And at this time, we're going to move into discussion amongst the senators. And we do ask that you leave the room at this time. Of course, under Nevada open meeting law, you don't have to. and then discussion will starting with the first hand. And again, this is kind of whether or not you're in support of favorably recommending Director Lynch to Senate. This doesn't mean he's getting sworn in right now. He's going to be recommended to Senate, and then from there, continue. So, Senator McKinney?
I think he's the most qualified for the position. I think we see that. I think we see his passion for it due to his reputation, his experience. I think he's I think he'll achieve the job pretty well.
Senator Alvarez?
I favorably recommend Austin Lynch due to the fact that he really keeps in mind of our goal of integrity in this Senate session, clearly with the idea of hiring a board that comes with different backgrounds and brings unique ideas. I think that's really essential considering and he also recognizes the issues that are happening with the organizations who are not able to really attend these events, and I think that that's just an incredible thing that he really is about integrity, and that's something that we need to really understand.
Senator Hughes.
He clearly has all of his bases covered in his portfolio. He covered absolutely everything I could ever ask him a question on. I also think that it's super important that he is so focused on collaborating with every aspect of ASUN, as well as different clubs on campus. I think that's a great aspect.
Senator Grant?
To add on to what Senator McKinney had to say, I really see the passion in his eyes, and I think that's going to be important, especially later on in the year, when he did mention, it's very easy to get burned out. So I think that is a great quality that he has.
Is there any further discussion? Senator Mata?
I really appreciate his planning. He has he mentioned accountability, but he has a lot of accountability also within himself. He put out his plan, and I think he has every intention of keeping it, so I also favor him as him.
Awesome. No. Senator Fyle.
Yeah, I just like to agree with everyone. I really appreciate how transparent he is to all of his goals, like how he's going to deliberately set forth goals, and I think he's going to achieve them. Also, I have another question. Can I eat this bagel right now?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you're good.
Sorry.
Is there any further discussion? Awesome. So we'll move into a vote. All those in favor favorably recommending the nomination of Austin Lynch, the Office of Director of the Department of Event Program, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. He's favorably recommended. I'm gonna go get him. Congratulations, you've been favorably recommended. We'll see you on Senate Wednesday. We'll be moving into agenda item D, the nomination of Omar Moore to the Office of Attorney General. I am seeking a motion to favorably recommend the nomination of Omar Moore to the Office of Attorney General. Senator McKinney?
So moved.
Is there a second? Senator Hughes?
Second.
Awesome. And we'll now move into a presentation from the President for her candidate.
All right. If you give me one quick moment, I'm trying to set this up.
I was just working with Chris. There's like a tiny update, but it's on your email. So if you just click on your email, it should be there. Keep it brief, because I know the portfolio is not. So, So yeah, the very first goal that I talk about is one that I think is particularly important for this position and just for ASUN in general. I think for any good governance to take place, you first have to have a good framework for the law for people to actually be regulated by. And so like governing documents inherently comes a prerequisite to good governance. As outlined in SAS section 202, the Attorney General is directly responsible for the enforcement of ASUN's legal documents. There are a ton of them. But the main ones are outlined right there, the statutes of the associated students, the ASUN Constitution, the Code of Conduct, open meeting laws, and other pertinent Nevada revised statutes, as well as, very minutely, the rules of the Senate for the brief interactions that I have with the Senate. But pretty much, I firmly believe that proper governance demands a proper foundation, and so I would make it a pivotal aspect of the position to emphasize the maintenance of these documents, but also the continual updating of these documents, because like they're only as good as how well they cater to the people they apply to, and a lot of the actual documents we have minor discrepancies, outdated clauses that can easily be tweaked, tailored to better accommodate the association. So just to briefly, show example I found of that. So obviously there are a ton of documents and I haven't gotten a thorough opportunity to review all of them, but in the brief opportunity I have had, I've already identified a couple. This is just one of the bigger ones that I've been able to identify that would be probably one of the first areas that I would want to address. And so obviously the text is really tiny, so I'll just point at the important stuff really quickly. So pretty much, these are the three clauses in the Constitution that address procedure, or like voting procedures, meeting procedures for all of the three branches of government. And that's really important, right? Like voting procedures determine how effective we're able to go about decision making. And particularly what's outlined right here is the legislative branch in Article 2. And we have clear outlined legislative procedures for the definition of a quorum, what's necessary to vote. And that's also present in the outlined judicial procedures, except there isn't continuity in the executive procedures clause, where there is actually no mention of the rules of a quorum or like what is necessary to make a valid vote. And that's really important, one, because the executive branch is the largest department of ASUN, oversees the most people, and also makes a lot of executive decisions as far as the budget. So making sure that you have those clauses that actually stipulate what to do in those situations is probably really important, especially in a document as important as the Constitution. So just one of the examples. Obviously, there will be more, but those will be addressed in the time. The next one, this is just to briefly address a large part of the conversations that I had with Hannah and Carissa regarded an overarching transition from the role of Attorney General to be less reactionary and more proactive. So a big term that I'm going to use a lot to describe the work I want to do in this position is proactive oversight. I think a lot more effective prosecution can be done if actions are taken before they are like demanded or need to happen before things actually call for them. And so obviously elections are a very controversial time, as election season is when the majority of these charges are brought and filed. So I think one big way to just address the large amount of violations that pile up at the end of election season is to just be more proactive about it. As someone, and as many of you know, I ran with you guys in the Senate race, so I'm very familiar with like how the process works. Something I did notice was that I don't think I actually got any charges. There was a minor instance where that almost happened, but I did notice that all of the charges that were ultimately filed happened at the very end of the election. It wasn't like a regular process, it wasn't a thorough process or throughout the actual election. And so I think that in itself breeds, you know, like inaction, and that is a poor way to actually address the issue. I think by actually administering charges as soon as we see them, when other people see other candidates getting charged for breaking infractions and minor violations, they'll know not to do them. A clear deterrent to small level infractions and minor violations is literally just not waiting till the last minute to administer them, because by the time we administer the charges in election season, nobody even knows why they got charged in the first place.
And so by immediately submitting charges, you can provide an overall deterrent to future charges that arise by showing other candidates the consequences or implications of actions they take throughout the campaign. Yeah, and I think that just addressing it sooner will have a deterrent effect. Cool. The next thing. So another part of the portfolio that I discussed, bless you, was expanding the role of the judiciary. This kind of goes hand in hand with just being less reactionary. Obviously, in the status quo right now, the Attorney General and the Judicial Council pretty much take actions when an appeal is needed or charges are brought up, but they don't do anything extra topical as far as what their duties are as they're enumerated in the SAS. And so I think the judiciary and members of the judiciary can take a lot of actions to go beyond what's explicitly said for them to do. One of the things I think can largely reduce violations within the judiciary is just taking more preemptive measures. Again, what I was talking about earlier is obviously this is not, I'm not a real prosecutor, I'm not representing the state and pursuing major ethical violations and criminal offenses, right? All of the crimes that I would be pursuing are minor infractions. And the reason that these minor infractions arise is not out of malice. People don't have ill intent. They don't want to commit a crime. No, they arise out of negligence because they don't have the awareness of the rules that they're breaking, because they don't seriously take the implications of the consequences of that action. And preemptive measures stand to actually resolve that because, one, you are actually preemptively going before the violation is committed to educate bodies about the regulations that bind them, so they will be aware of them when it becomes necessary in the future. But also, it'll help in other aspects. So pretty much over the next term, I would hope to work closely with officers of the judicial branch, as well as government ops, the Committee of Government Operations, because I think they have a lot of relevant overlap in the work that they do, to develop a series of explanatory lectures to be delivered at necessary meetings and functions. Obviously, that would vary depending on what's needed at the time. But an example of this is every time I've already heard different senators discuss SAS revisions they want to make, right? When SAS revisions happen, that's something that can easily be turned into a very brief educational opportunity to just make sure that everyone's on the same page so that no negligent issues arise in the future. Additionally, implementing or discussing campaign regulations at the pre-campaign workshops before we have official candidates could actually serve to better educate candidates before they start campaigning, and two, could actually stand to, encourage more people to get involved with elections when they're aware of, the fact that there are checks against unfair abuses within the campaign system. And these are just a couple different examples. I think by taking a more proactive approach to the prosecuting position of Attorney General, we can ultimately, prosecute people more effectively, but reduce the amount of overall infractions and violations that arise. I know this is a kind of dense subject, and rule following isn't necessarily the coolest thing, but I do think that I can pursue this position with uncompromising ethics, and I can make a pretty good culture of rule following. One quote that I do really, really subscribe to as far as my philosophy for the pursuit of justice. Oh, wait, actually, before we get to that, we're going to talk about the digits. Okay, yeah, so time for it. All right, oh, wait, that's a sneak peek. And that's a quote. All right. You get to see the second time, it'll be slicker. So quickly just talking about the important stuff. Oh, perfect. Time frame. All of this is pretty immediate, right? SAS itself dictates that this is a job that has a lot of independent work with it. It doesn't have a department it needs to oversee, so a lot of this is just contingent on my independent review as well as collaboration with, outside parties who are relevant. But as far as the Constitution, the Code of Conduct, the Rules of Senate, I myself have already read completely through those, have areas highlighted and ready to discuss with the people about those. The only area that would take more time to go through is obviously the SAS, as it's very long and thorough. As far as that goes, that can easily be read completely by June, and I just think the dialogue surrounding more SAS revisions would require more time, so I personally want to talk to a lot of senators about that over the summer, but all of the governing document revisions and everything could easily be in place before the next school year. The expansion of the judiciary, I already have plans articulated more thoroughly than they are in the portfolio, but those can easily be implemented in August through September. And elections, elections, but.
Thank you, Mr. Moore. We'll now move into a question and answer period, starting with the first hand from senators. Senator Collins.
In your portfolio, it talks about how you were you worked with the district attorney's office, and you also were very involved with debate team. So how does that prepare you for what you're about to take on?
So obviously I did spend a lot of boring time talking about documents, and so I would say those positions specifically helped me with my familiarity and my ability to comprehensively review and understand documents. As a law clerk, I thoroughly worked with the Nevada Revised Statute System. I did a ton of subpoenas, bench warrants that all dealt with making the proper citations and understanding what those citations actually meant when I wrote them on paper. And that was in the district attorney's office. I would say as a debate coach, just being able to issue advisory opinions, that's something that the Attorney General deals with a lot, and being able to, you know, comprehensively analyze a bulk of literature is the good experience I've got from that job.
Senator McKinney.
In your portfolio, you mentioned how you evaluation as well as personal use of Attorney General's General Harris's office hours, understanding that he did two terms as Attorney General. What do you believe that you learned from him, and how will that make you a better candidate for the position?
Cool. So I think I got a lot of really valid insight out of General Harris. After going to his office hours a couple times, I did pester him a lot just to get more insight on what the position was all about. The really good parts that I took from were knowing what the position is actually intended for, what the bulk of the work actually ends up dealing with. I know that throughout the year, the majority of regular work for him that comes in is actually dealing with advisory opinions and not actually filing charges and stuff. I would say the bigger takeaway is the things I want to change about the position, and those would be the things that I've talked about on this presentation with Hannah and Carissa, and that's just about that transition from reactionary to more proactive.
Senator Mata.
You said that you ran with us for Senate, and so I assume that you're a little bit familiarized with some of the people that are in ASUN. Do you have a fear that it might hinder your job having personal connections with people that you may be writing citations for?
No, I do not, actually. I am a horrible person who takes joy out of prosecuting the friends, so if you are my friend, you should probably be worried if I get this position, but for the most part, I would say that track record of uncompromising ethics, I think that, as a law clerk, as a pre-law student, there's a lot of emphasis placed on the importance of integrity and ethics, and that's something that I uphold the highest value.
Within your goal number three, involvement of the judiciary, one of your objectives was to work closely with other members of the judiciary to compose a series of lectures. How do you plan on structuring these lectures, and are you planning on, for members of ASUN, are you planning on being inclusive of all departments of ASUN, and how?
Yeah, so I wanted to be more of a dynamic thing, right? I wanted to be very explicit because I wanted to accommodate whenever it might be necessary, but pretty much what I was talking about in the last slide was just, it changes depending on climate. So I would deal with the Senate if I was doing an explanatory lecture with the judiciary to educate everyone regarding a SAS revision. But I would be dealing with people interested in running for ASUN elections if it were at a pre-campaign workshop explaining the campaign regulations. But again, it's more of an adaptive thing that, is contingent on the circumstance.
Any further questions? Seeing no further questions, thank you, Mr. Moore.
Sure.
We'll now move into a discussion, but again, not many more. You are more than welcome to stay, but under Nevada open meeting law, thank you. I already know. So with that discussion, we'll start, starting with the first hand. Senator Hughes.
I'd like to commemorate his communication skills, which I think will be vital in this position because he does so much collaboration with the executive branch, as well as just one of his big goals of addressing different groups within ASUN to make sure all of them understand what is being put through the SAS and other governing documents. So he was very thorough in his communication style, and I think he was very easy to understand, which I think will be very beneficial, so there's not any miscommunication from his position. But I also think that his written portfolio was important as well, because not only is verbal presentation important, but written. So I would like to commemorate that.
Senator McKinney.
Speaking as government operations chair, and this is the person that I will probably be working with, not more essentially, but Attorney General, his ideas about the workshops and everything about the SAS changes and letting everyone know in like complete fluidity and complete conversation about what's going on, I'm 100% behind that. And I think that is an awesome thing to do. So just as I would be making changes to the SAS, I think that was an amazing idea inspired by it.
Senator Mata.
I really appreciate how he mentioned that it's more about the emphasis on maintenance and updating of the documents, not necessarily following them to the T, which I think is important in our like changing times and everything like that, as well as just his education that he already has of the documents. He pointed out sections by name, pointed out the exact place that they are, and that's more than I can do. So.
I really appreciate the fact that he's trying to make this a more proactive role than a very stagnant role that has been in the past. And I also think that in terms of our word of being of integrity, he really would maintain it, considering, as what Senator Mata said, that he's being very particular with all the changes that need to be made, as well as switching over for election reform and making sure that his ideas are being properly assessed, and as well as expanding the judiciary, I don't know why I can't pronounce it, is very important. So I think the fact that he's keeping the integrity, as we previously discussed, is very important.
Senator McKinney.
Going off of Senator Alvarez, like a final comment for myself, I believe that having someone in a position of executive branch as a person who can see a position and expand upon it, just as Senator Alvarez said, is so essential. And having someone as an attorney general to not just stay stagnant in a position and constantly try to improve on it and constantly try to increase like the roles behind it, I think that is another awesome thing he had on his portfolio.
Any further discussion? Seeing no further discussion, we'll move to a vote. All those in favor of favorably recommending the nomination of Omar Moore to the office of attorney general, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Any abstentions? Motion carries. Awesome. Congratulations, you've been favorably recommended. So we will see you at Senate tomorrow at 5:30 p.m. Oh, sorry, Wednesday, not Friday. Awesome. We'll move into the next agenda item E, the nomination of Luke Pitard to the Office of Director of the Department of Clubs and Organizations. I am seeking a motion to favorably recommend the nomination of Luke Pitard to the Office of Director of the Department of Diversity. Oh, sorry, of Clubs and Organizations. Senator Pitt,
so moved.
Is there a second? Senator Hughes?
Second.
All right, we'll move into a presentation from President Jackson by President Bradford.
Thank you, Speaker Martinez. So, Luke Pitard is a third-year student studying finance and economics and has extensive experience as both a club leader and a leader within the Department of Clubs and Organizations. In the commission, he has served as a commissioner for the Sports and Recreation Commission, as well as the Assistant Director of Clubs and Organizations, which was previously known as Funding Manager. Throughout his service, Luke has not only served his constituents, but has enacted monumental changes that will positively impact students for years to come. Just to name a few, he's developed a sports council, tracked and analyzed funding, enacted comprehensive policy reform, created an ADA accessible club support funding spreadsheet, and facilitated the clubs and organizations internship program. When asked what an effective Department of Clubs and Organizations looks like to him, Luke stressed the importance of educating, communicating, and working with organizations to promote success and graduation. Luke is personally a leader that I look up to and a leader that our university would be very lucky to have in this position. So I'm excited to introduce Luke Pitard.
Thank you, Mr. Jackson. Thank you guys for having me tonight. So, I'm probably going to do the same thing the other two did. I'm just going to kind of run through my portfolio and explain to you guys some of my goals for next year and my vision for this department, and hopefully, explain to you guys the vision for the next few years and not just 1 year. So if we turn to the, or you guys have it on your computers, it's the third page. So I'm going to start with the suggested budget. So I'm not sure how familiar you guys are with the Department of Clubs and Organizations and the way we function. But over the past year, we instituted a monumental change, reforming our whole tier system and the way we fund clubs and organizations on campus. This new tier system, we named it Operations. And what that means is it was a $1,000 catch-all tier for clubs and organizations on campus to utilize to help them grow and sustain infrastructure and communication within the organization and anything you can imagine that leads to advertising and promotion. And so my goal with it is to expand our budget a little bit to help account for this. Theoretically, if every club utilized their full $1,000, our department would run out of money. That's not going to happen. But my goal with this is to be able to encourage and have the fiscal confidence to encourage clubs to utilize this so we can see a lot of growth on campus and see these clubs, students join these clubs to promote graduation. Because we all know when students are involved on campus, it leads to higher graduation rates, and that's what we're here to do. Another part of my suggested budget is to increase the assistant director's pay. So currently, this is the way the system works now. We pay our commissioners and our assistant director $3,000 stipend for the year. With the increased job duties and the new undertaking of the internship program this past year, I believe the assistant director deserves a slight pay increase to account for these increased job duties. And it is a very time-consuming job, and I just really want to encourage people to apply this, and I hope that people don't shy away from it because, it gets the same pay as a commissioner, which would encourage them, hey, if I can do less work, I can just apply for a commissioner and get the same job. Then I want to talk about some of my upcoming ideas. Over the past 2 years, we have definitely stressed this idea of community service and serving these clubs and allowing them to access resources to promote themselves. So my goal, my big theme for the next year is sustainability. I want to sustain this growth. I want to sustain, clubs and our commissioners working with clubs and organizations on campus to allow them to access funding, to allow them to host events on campus, to allow them to, anything they can imagine and we have a hand in it, I want them to be able to assist with this growth. So I want to sustain the projects we've done. Over the past few years, actually, to my knowledge of all time, students view us as gatekeepers to funds, which is so negative because it's not the truth. People think we just hand people money, but that's not the case. We work diligently on projects to promote resources, to promote education, to promote funding as well, but I want a comprehensive view of the department and a comprehensive view of ASUN as a whole. So what I want to focus on is developing transparency among our club leaders and among our department. That leads me into my next goal, which are impact reports. We've dabbled with this in the past, but it's never come to fruition, and I really want, my goal for the next year is transparency, and I want clubs to know where this money is going, and I want them to be educated about the events we're having on campus and where their money is going so that, if people don't know, what clubs are hosting events and all their money is going there, it's unfortunate because they should be able to take part in these events. They should be able to take part in whatever their money is going to. So what I want to focus on is developing impact reports, maybe including them in weekly newsletters monthly newsletters, or including them in, monthly emails from our commissioners that just allow them to understand, hey, these are the big events we funded this past month. This is the amount of money we funded within the last month, and this is, what we're planning to do next month. Just to create that line of communication between clubs and organizations and our commission, and to educate. That leads me into my next point, which are coalition councils. So my first big project I did when I joined the commission was I developed the Sports and Rec Council. The goal behind the Sports and Rec Council was to give students a chance to air their grievances and voice their opinions about the issues going on. And we could do that as a whole on the commission, but there's a lot of niche problems that develop within each coalition that we can't address properly as a whole. So my goal is to require each commission to chair their own council. This way we can give these club leaders a voice and a chance to communicate with fellow leaders who work within the same coalition about what they're doing right and what their issues they face, and maybe that will lead to a higher success rate of recruiting students. students to join these organizations and, you know, again, lead to graduation. Another big thing with my coalition councils is I really want, this kind of, you know, coincides with my iLead conference, so I'll touch on it a little bit right now, is in the past, iLead conference has been a educational seminar, essentially, about what we do as clubs and organizations, the way to receive funding. I can't see that, I'm sorry.
Funding, okay.
The way they receive funding, the resources available to them, just everything about clubs and organizations. But that's not what it's supposed to be. It's supposed to be a leadership conference. We're supposed to educate our students about how to become leaders and how they can make a difference here on campus, in their communities, and all around the world. And I think it starts with reforming the iLead conference, but that doesn't mean we can get rid of the material we're administering in the past. So what I want to do is develop four modules, have each commissioner develop a four-module lesson, essentially, that they administer within the first semester that teaches clubs and organizations all about us. Because we get questions that they shouldn't be asking, and that's on our part. We need to be better communicators, and they also cannot digest everything we do in 4 hours. It's just not possible. So I want to require these councils to administer these modules and educate club leaders on their resources and what we have and what's available to them and how they can connect with each other. My final point on that is with the coalition councils, we have a requirement of 10 students. They're required to have 10 students in a club before they can become official Native Student Americans. President Jackson brought this issue up to me, and it really resonated with me, and the fact that some clubs are just too small, and they are not able to recruit members, and unfortunately, that means they don't get access to the wonderful resources we have, you know, within ASUN. So I believe with these councils, if we open it up, not to the clubs themselves, but to students in general who are interested in a specific type of club, say an outreach club or a sports club, if we allow them to come, and if they lack members, I believe that there's a lot of overlap, and they'll be able to, you know, gain enough members to have access to the ASUN resources and solve that issue right there. So then we'll move into my iLead conference. I've worked a lot with Commissioner Fulmer on this, and the goal is a whole reformation of this conference. We want to bring speakers to teach students what it means to be a leader. That doesn't mean just leading your own club and organization, but it means being a leader on campus and setting an example for other students. So we want to change this to be an educational process about what it takes to be a leader, how to become a leader, and to show people they are leaders in their everyday lives, they just don't know. So the big thing with that is to create, you know, a 3-4 hour day where we bring speakers, we bring members from ASUN to talk about what they do as departments and also help bridge that gap, and then essentially, you know, transform the image of what it was in the past. And, you know, students in the past have not been receptive to it. And if we just, if somebody tells us to keep doing it, just because, we shouldn't, because it's a waste of our resources. Again, this is student money, and we shouldn't be, you know, wasting it if students are not getting anything out of it just because. And then if my next point is I want to move on to something that was actually, you know, brought up in about the 90s. Director Desmero dabbled with it, and I really want to take it to the next level. It's seed funding. A lot of clubs lack the ability to raise money, and we all know to make money you need money. So I want to focus this idea with the operations tier we currently have, which is 100% funded by ASUN, to allow clubs the opportunity to, you know, gain a little money to do fundraisers and help them, you know, increase their bank account so they can host bigger events. And my final thing I want to touch on is community outreach. ASUN as a whole, I believe, should be more civically engaged. So what that means is I want ASUN officers and I want everyone within to start, you know, attending community events, giving back to the community. And I believe this will help students if we host, you know, weekly or monthly events where we allow students to sign up for the GivePulse platform to come, you know, hang out with their ASUN constituents and give back to the community. I just think that would be such a beautiful thing that will allow them to change their image of us and us to give back to the community. And that's it.
Hello.
Thank you. We'll now move into a question and answer, starting with the first hand, Senator McKinney.
Under your I Lead Conference portion of your portfolio, you expressed, "I would like to create a monumental service event that allows for students to gather and make an impact together." Can you elaborate what you mean by monumental service event?
Yeah, so this was, Hannah Jackson and I spoke on this, and Commissioner Fulmer, we want to create tradition. So if we, again, this is maybe we're not going to be able to build a house, but if every year we gather to, do an event that allows students to etch their name into UNR history through a service event, whether that's, giving back, building a house. I don't know if it's feasible, but my goal is to do something that just makes a big impact. It's not like, hey, even though it's great, we're not just, cleaning up the community. Let's do something that affects more people and gets a lot of people, hands-on together, not separate. If we're building something large or we're cleaning something, but if we're doing it together and it allows students to etch their name into something, I think it'll give them some skin in the game and make them, incentivize them to come to these events and learn.
Senator Fyle.
So as the chair for the Civic Engagement Committee, nice to meet you. How do you plan to work with the committee, specifically to work on events like this?
How do I say it one more time? Sorry.
So how do you plan to work with the committee specifically to create events that are monumental?
I'm not extremely knowledgeable on large scale, planning large scale community service events. So I think that's where the committee can come in and they can, direct us in the right direction to say, hey, this is what there's a need for. Maybe you guys can gather a lot of clubs and organizations and you guys can go do these service events. So I think more on the educational side is where the committee and the Department of Clubs and Organizations can work together to highlight the issues in the community so we can tackle those together.
Senator Collins.
Earlier you talked about impact reports and CU funding and how they were talked about in previous years but never really came through. So how would you make sure that it doesn't fall through this year?
Again, nothing is for sure, but in the past, I'll highlight, so the seed funding issue versus there was no accountability and there was no way to ensure that clubs and organizations would ever pay back whatever they borrowed. And I don't know how it's going to work on the accounting side, but to ensure that it doesn't fall through, I wouldn't institute anything until I was sure that there was no holes in it, so there were no issues with different departments, because we have a lot of moving parts that work with it. So I think to ensure it doesn't fall through is to just understand, make sure we hit all our points and make sure that everything is feasible before we roll out a plan. I think if we jump the gun too early, that's what leads to a lot of fall through and people not continuing with certain projects.
Senator Monta.
So just for all projects that you may have in the future, but more specifically for this question, I'm going to use ILEAD. Do you plan on using a section of ILEAD to discuss diversity and inclusion?
Yeah, so again, I touched on it briefly. I want to bring different departments of ASUN and bridge that gap. So I think bringing the Department of Diversity and Inclusion to ILEAD will help, allow them to gain some notoriety, because I don't think a lot of students understand that the Department of Diversity and Inclusion exists and what they truly do. So I think the goal of ILEAD is to, bring different departments to educate and show students that these are resources and highlight what they can do. So yes, in short.
Senator Alvarez.
Just for clarification, would you say you're more interested in maintaining organizations on this campus and making sure that they keep their legacy throughout the next couple of years, or?
Or?
Okay. I mean, sorry, I was just out of the sentence.
So, is my concern maintaining?
Yes.
Yeah, so that's huge. So currently, we're almost upwards of 300 clubs on campus, but I don't think we can't continue to grow unless we ensure that we maintain, our large organizations on campus. So I think that's a goal of mine, but I think the way I'm going to do it is, work with my department to ensure that whatever issues they have, they're at least brought to our attention so their voice is heard, so we can ensure that they know that we're working as hard and as diligently as possible to make sure that, these clubs and organizations have a long life on campus, because again, those lead to graduation rates.
Senator Hughes.
Can you elaborate on the coalition analysis and how the disaffiliation of several fraternities on campus will impact the Greek life? I'm assuming it's the budget?
So it's not a budget. Okay. That's actually funding numbers. So the way we've, you know, the amount of money we've allocated to given coalitions, mm-hmm. In years past, that's always the largest number we see because there are a lot of Greek organizations on campus and they do request a lot of money. I don't foresee that being an issue. Like, are you asking if there's going to be a drop off?
Senator Hughes.
Just may I, like, yes. Speaker Martinez, Speaker Martinez, will that number change just because, like, I believe it was 6 fraternities that are no longer affiliated, so they can't get?
Funding is, I like to say, it's almost nearly impossible to predict.
Okay.
So, you know, we try to catch trends and see, you know, where clubs peak and where they, you know, where their valleys are, but we don't know what clubs and organizations are going to spend and when they're going to spend. Our goal is just to ensure that they understand that these are the available resources and teach them how they have access to them. But to answer your question, I don't believe that there would be a decrease. I don't know the exact club fraternities that were, but I don't see them being a large part of that number, you know, requesting funding throughout the year.
Senator Grant.
Going back to the topic of seed funding, I would just like a little more details on how that actually works.
Yeah, okay, so again, I don't know if it's foolproof, but when I thought about it and when I discussed it with the relevant people and people who have knowledge on it. So currently, the way the system works is we'll get a lot of clubs they become recognized and they don't have any money to start fundraisers and they become discouraged and they don't, you know, host events and they just think, okay, we'll use our 1,000 and that's it, and then the next year we'll deal with whatever they have. So the goal with it and the way it's going to function is I want to, you know, currently there's 100% operations funding, which is $1,000. So the goal is to use that almost as like hedging your risk. So you allow clubs to access the, you know, the seed funding prior to them using their operations funding. And hypothetically, if they were to default, they just lose whatever the amount left in their operations exists, right? So, and the cap on the seed funding would not exceed $1,000. Now, if a club has been faithful and they've repaid it and they want access to it again, as long as they have enough to hedge within their own operations funding tier, then I think it's feasible. And that's the way it's going to work. I'm sorry, I apologize.
Senator Mata.
I'm going to be completely honest with you. I don't expect you to have an answer to this question, but just in case you do, you mentioned a budget increase for the assistant director as well as just operations in general. Do you have any idea where that money might come from?
That's a good question. hopefully it can appear out of the air, but it's not. So I don't. I want to work with President Jackson and see if it's feasible. Again, these are, you know, I want this to happen, and I understand there are a lot of moving parts and there are a lot of other departments that need money, maybe even more than our department is. So I don't know exactly where it's going to come from or if it's even feasible, but it's just a goal of mine to at least explore it and see if that's available.
Senator McKinney.
Just reading straight from your portfolio on sustainability, you say my goal is to ensure the longevity of these projects by guiding the commission to continue to utilize these stepping stones and expand on them further, yada, yada, yada. And then you go down and you bring up the sports commission again.
Yeah.
And then you go on to say that you hope that the sports commissioner will work with athletics on campus to find opportunities that will give sports clubs more access to a variety of inputs. So how does making sure that the sports commission working with athletics on campus to find opportunities that will give sports clubs more access to a variety of inputs mm-hmm. affect sustainability and the longevity of these projects?
So the sports council, for example, we have been able to sustain that for, this is the second year. So that was an example of showing how I want to ensure sustainability. So that was an example of a project that we started that we were able to maintain year over year, right? Because typically when there's turnover, sorry if that wasn't clear. Typically when there's turnover, you know, people, if a commissioner doesn't leave a legacy binder or if a commissioner, if the next commission comes in, they say, hey, I hate that project, and they go into thin air. But maybe there was some usefulness within that project that was making a significant impact on sports clubs, for example. So I just want to ensure that every commission that comes in, touches on each project, and makes sure they do their due diligence in highlighting whether a project's finished and making sure that it's, you know, it continues.
All right, and that contains question and answer. Thank you, Mr. Pitar. At this time, we ask that you leave the room. You can do that open meeting while you don't have to. But we'll now move into a discussion, starting with the first hand. Senator Mata.
I asked him a very hard question. Budget is always a hard question. And he was honest with his answer that he wasn't sure, but he did set forward some sort of plan, which is important, I feel like, with clubs and organizations, is to work with President Jackson. And also, it seems like he has a good layout of how just the department works in general. So I think we recommend him.
Senator Hughes?
So at first when he mentioned increasing the pay for the assistant director, and I know that this isn't one of his major points, but I think it's worth noting, I was kind of skeptical of it because obviously it would make sense that all of the assistant director positions are uniform across the different organizations. However, upon looking at the budget, the director of clubs and orgs is already making $2,000 more than the director of diversity and inclusion, and so I think it would make sense to like appropriate those like equal in or like as far as equal ratios go. So I think that is a very good point that he made with regards to increasing that pay wage.
Senator Alvarez.
Through the speaker to Dr. Beatty or even President Jackson, how feasible is it to increase the funding for, or the pay for the assistant director?
That was if you all, since you are in charge, the pay grades of all the different officers are in the SAS, and then so it would be a charge of the Committee on Government Operations or whatever committee you deem appropriate to make those changes if you see fit.
Thank you. Senator McKinney.
As the budget's important and everything like that, with like the assistant director getting paid a certain amount, I believe we should also focus just on his actual ideas and like how concrete they are. The question I asked about the iLead and creating a monumental service event that allows for students to gather and make an impact together, I personally didn't really like his answer about how vague it was, and he didn't really have a structured idea about that was. He just kind of said we could kind of build something like a house or clean something. So if I would have just seen a little bit more structure from that, but I believe that he can come up with a feasible idea for that, and I like the idea overall.
Senator Fong.
Can I ask, like, the former director, like, what? Do you
have some Director DeSamaro.
Oh, wait, so what's your question?
I mean, you've obviously worked with him in the past.
Yes.
Has he completed the goals that you set forth in the past?
Yes. So I've been in this department for 3 years now. And being director, Luke is one of the hardest working people I've ever met in my life. And I don't say that very lightly. Luke has exceeded every position that I've taken on, and even more. So it's, and having mentored him through when I was funding manager, he was commissioner, when I was director, when I mentored him as assistant director, he's always exceeded the bar consistently. His head's in the right place. He's very analytical. He knows what's right for the department. He's the only one who has the experience to be able to effectively manage this department. And I think that just comes straight from the fact that having been, you need to have experience in the positions, in my opinion, of club commissioner and assistant director in order to effectively manage such a large scale department and such a large scale initiative. There's a reason why the director of clubs and organizations has an entire committee and leads an entire committee full of these commissioners who can essentially embody his personal ideas and the roles that he wants to take on. But Luke is without a doubt one of the hardest working people I've ever met, and he has exceeded 100% in all the positions that he's been involved in this department.
Thank you, Director DeSamaro. Senator Alvarez.
Through the speaker to Senator McKinney, in regards to the monumental service event, I've actually worked with Club Commissioner Fulmer and on this the whole ILEA conference and nominee Bitter?
Nominee Batar
has actually listened intently in every single meeting that Club Commissioner Fulmer and I have had. And in regards to that monumental service, we have been contacting Habitat for Humanity and different things like that, ensuring that we create this service event that is beyond adopting a park, that will actually be a feasible, tangible service event for every single organization on this campus, regardless if they participate or not. And he's really taking an expansive role in really expanding the ILEE conference and ensuring that not just the Department of Diversity is included, but ensuring that there's training, such as ally training, green dot training, different things like that. And because of his work with that, and I may be a little biased because I am also working on the ILEE conference with Club Commissioner Fulmer and nominee Batar, that is something that is so that I haven't seen in recent years of taking expansive ILEE control or expanding the ILEE conference. So does that answer? Does it clarify?
Senator McKinney.
Through the speaker, Senator Alvarez, I appreciate the clarification.
Okay.
That clarifies a lot.
Is there any further discussion on the table of nominee Batar? Seeing no further discussion, we'll now move into a vote. All those in favor of favorably recommending the nomination of Luke Batar to the Office of Director and Department of of Clubs and Organizations, please designate by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstentions? Motion carries. Favorably recommended. Congratulations. We will see you at Senate this Wednesday, not Friday, this Wednesday. Moving into agenda item number 7, public comment. Is there any public comment at this time? I want to say something really quick. I just want to say you all had an amazing discussion. Thank you so much. You even recognized yourselves when the topics were getting out of hand to bring it back to the table, which I thought was amazing. The questions were on top of it, and I really encourage you all to bring this back to other senators. Again, you all had amazing questions and knew what to look for and reference the staff, so just kudos to you. And in addition to that, now that we've had all of these nominees go through, just to have a reminder to hold them to their goals that they've had here today, to listen to these minutes and to ensure that they are following through with what they said to you. Beautiful thing of Nevada open meeting law. You can listen to them or you can read them. So I'll keep you to that. And again, great discussion we all had. Dr. Beatty?
So I guess one of the key critical goals of Overspec has a fancy name, but you're really that ethics board, right? So it's your job to vet these candidates out. So just remember everything you talk about here tonight and bring it back to Senate and inform your fellow senators.
Any further public comment at this time? Seeing none, I move to agenda item 8, adjournment. I adjourn this meeting at 8:17 p.m.